Iran pays tribute to its assassinated top nuclear scientist, Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, before he's laid to rest on Monday. Saudi Arabia conducts fresh airstrikes on several locations across Yemen, including the international airport in the capital, Sana'a. The UN voices concern over the severe financial crisis of its agency for Palestinian refugees amid the coronavirus pandemic. Thanks so much for being with us. First story takes us right here to Iran this hour, where the body of Iran's assassinated nuclear scientist has arrived in the capital, Tehran, for burial after completing a final pilgrimage through the holy shrines in the country. Mohsen Fakhrizadeh's body was initially taken to the revered Imam Reza's shrine in the northeast city of Mashhad. There, prayers and other religious rituals were held. His body was then transferred to the shrine of Hazrat Fatima Masumeh in the city of Qom, south of Tehran. Fakhrizadeh's remains were finally taken to Imam Khomeini's mausoleum after arriving in the capital. He's set to be laid to rest in Tehran on Monday. Fakhrizadeh was assassinated near the city on Friday after his vehicle was ambushed by a car blast and gunfire. Iranian officials have blamed Israel and has vowed a harsh revenge. More international reactions are pouring in to the assassination of Iranian nuclear scientist Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. Iraqi Foreign Minister Fuad Hussein condemned the killing and offered condolences to the Iranian government and people. He also slammed what he called actions that do not contribute to supporting stability. The head of the Russian Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee denounced the terror attack as a crime. Leonid Slutsky said the move is aimed at provoking Iran. The UK said it is waiting for all the facts about Fakhrizadeh's assassination. The European Union blasted the killing as a criminal act. Turkey called it an act of terrorism and said perpetrators must be held accountable. The assassination of the Iranian top nuclear scientist has drawn condemnation from Iranians from all walks of life. In Tehran, a rally was held to slam the terrorist attack. Yusuf Jalali brings us more.
2:30 p.m. local time on Friday, in a countryside area east of Tehran, a truck loaded with explosives blew up to intercept car carrying top Iranian nuclear scientist Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. Eyewitnesses say five or six gunmen then rushed from a nearby vehicle and opened fire on his car. Fakhrizadeh was seriously injured and taken to hospital, but medics were unable to save his life. The incident immediately sent its shockwaves across Iran and beyond, with Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif calling the attack an act of terror and linking it to Israel. Inside Iran, the assassination comes as a shock. Less than 24 hours after the incident, people from all walks of life gathered outside the Iranian parliament to condemn the assassination, which they view as grave as the U.S.'s assassination of top IRGC commander Qasem Soleimani in January.
What happened to our nuclear scientist was carried out by the same terrorists who killed Qasem Soleimani. Like Mr. Soleimani, Fakhrizadeh offered many services to our nation.
If we back down on this terrorist act, the U.S. and Israel will become more insolent towards us. We have gathered here to urge the government and lawmakers to take a tough stance towards the perpetrators to avoid further such incidents.
Fakhrizadeh served as the head of the Research and Innovation Organization of the Defense Ministry. Iranian officials say he had a long history in defense innovations and had made key efforts to promote Iran's nuclear energy program.
Remember that name, Fakhrizadeh.
This had made him the number one target of Israel's intelligence services, which have a track record of targeted killings of Iranian nuclear scientists. nearly a decade ago.
Israel is not willing to see Iran's advancement in science and technology. It killed four other Iranian nuclear scientists, and now it assassinated Mr. Fakhrizadeh. But Israel should know that it cannot stop Iran's peaceful nuclear program, because those martyrs have trained numerous young scientists who will take the lead in this field.
Observers say the assassination of the Iranian scientist comes as part of Israel's attempts to disrupt Iran's nuclear energy program, which Tel Aviv accuses of having military dimensions. Iran has time and again dismissed such allegations and signed the 2015 nuclear deal with the world powers as a sign of goodwill.
Fakhrizadeh now becomes the fifth Iranian nuclear scientist who was eliminated in a terror attack, while all indications attest to an Israeli involvement. Iranians here demand that the government take a harsh revenge. This, they say, would reduce the chances of more Iranian scientists becoming an easy target for terrorists. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
John Wright is an author and commentator. He says the assassination of Mohsen Fakhrizadeh is a heinous crime, and a Western country's silence on it shows their double standards.
Well, Mr. Fakhrizadeh's murder marks a foul violation of any code of ethics worth adhering to in any civilization. And the way of civilization is diplomacy. The way of rogue nations is murder. And Israel, undoubtedly, is a rogue state. The timing could not be clearer. This is an attempt to box the incoming Biden administration in its attempts to resurrect the JCPOA, or the Iran nuclear deal, which the Trump administration sabotaged in 2015 at the behest of the Saudis and of Mr. Netanyahu. I think that the region now is going to experience its most tense period in many years, and I am sick and tired of witnessing these criminal actions of Israel and seeing nothing meaningful done in the West. A fine word, butter no parsnips. It's all right, words of condemnation. Where are the sanctions? Where is the expulsion of ambassadors? Where are any of the measures that would be undertaken against Iran if the shoe had been on the other foot, i.e. if Iranian security services had prepared and carried out the murder of an Israeli scientist in Israel?
At least 30 people have died in a car bomb attack in Afghanistan's eastern province of Ghazni. Over a dozen others also were injured in the attack that happened on the outskirts of Ghazni's capital. The Interior Ministry says an assailant detonated a vehicle full of explosives near an army base. Local officials say all the victims are security personnel. So far, there's been no claim of responsibility. The attack is one of the bloodiest targeting Afghan forces in recent months. Now it comes as the government and the Taliban militant group are in talks for a lasting peace agreement. Saudi Arabia has carried out fresh air raids on Yemen, targeting several provinces, including the capital, Sana'a. The Yemeni media say the regime's warplanes hit several areas in Sada province, as well as Sana'a airport. There are no reports of casualties and damage from the aerial attacks. However, two civilians reportedly were killed and another injured in the Saudi artillery shelling on the border district of Munabi. The attacks came just a day after Saudi jets bombarded Sada province at least eight times. Riyadh, along with some of its regional allies, are backed by the U.S. and launched a devastating war on Yemen in 2015. Tens of thousands of people, mostly civilians, have been killed and millions displaced in the Saudi-led aerial and ground attacks. Abdul Latif al-Washali in Sana'a says the recovered remnants of missiles used in the recent Saudi attacks on Yemen show that they were made in the USA.
The Saudi fighter jets launched three missiles on Sana'a airport and a missile on Dila'a in Hamdan, and there were another two missiles on another directorate. These attacks and this escalating held by Saudi Arabia is in response to the attacks carried out by the Yemeni army on the oil facilities in Saudi Arabia. We believe in that. And there is another update about the missiles used yesterday, before yesterday, which is Friday, on the attacks on horse barns and residential areas. The scattered fragments from these missiles showed that the corporation making these missiles is an American called Woodward, according to the head of the mine dealing center, Ali Sabra. He said that these missiles are American missiles made by the company Woodward.
And now it's time for this hour's news review. UN Chief Antonio Guterres has voiced concern over the financial situation of the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees. Guterres called on UN members to help UNRWA meet the critical humanitarian needs of the Palestinian refugees during the pandemic. He made the call in a message on International Day of Solidarity with Palestinian people. On Thursday, UNRWA said it has been hit by an unprecedented financial crisis. The UN agency said it has received the lowest level of contributions since 2012. UNRWA relies on funds from UN member states and the European Union, but its finances have been ravaged by a U.S. decision in 2018 to slash hundreds of millions of dollars in aid. I'd like to welcome my guests to this news review. Michael Springman, author and former U.S. diplomat out of Washington, D.C., and Adel Samara, Palestinian writer and researcher out of Ramallah. Thank you both for being with us. I'm going to start off in Ramallah. Well, of course, today is a special day as far as in the commemoration of Palestinians. But when we look at the situation, just basic minimum, bare minimal, and basic necessities that are not being taken care of, we see with UNRWA right now, and the major financial cuts and international entities not really keeping their promises and supporting. Your take on what needs to be done to change this status quo?
First of all, I think it is not a promise from the United Nations. It is their duty, you know, because it is conditioned, you know, that unless or until the Palestinian refugees have the right to return, the United Nations must take care of the Palestinians in a proper or in a humanitarian way of life. I think that one of the reasons behind that, of behind this, you know, decrease or even wiping of the UNRWA assistance for the Palestinian refugees is the policy of the United States, which is controlling the United Nations. By the way, it is controlled and, you know, it is occupied by the United States, and accordingly, there is no real chance for a change or improve in this situation unless a real pressure should take place. Unfortunately, you know, that the main part who have to pressurize the United States is the Arab countries. But you know that the Arab regimes, or most of the Arab regimes, are in fact, you know, normalizing with the Zionist occupation, and some of them even, like the United Arab Emirates, trying to say, or some people there writing that the Palestinians are occupying Israel, and that the Palestinians are, you know, launching war against Israel. That's why we have also another factor which might help in that level, which is, you know, that the Palestinians must go for a national front or for one front, uniting them so as to face most of the challenges or many challenges. One of them is this. Now, before, in the last, you know, few years or a few decades, if you like, many regimes or many countries, like the socialist countries, were, you know, supporting the Palestinians. But unfortunately, now all the world are under the control of the United Nations and, you know, Western Europe, who are in fact, you know, supporting and creating the Zionist regime.
Well, Michael, I'd like you to explain a little bit, because a lot of times, especially when individuals may hear this story or something similar from mainstream media, and they just hear one side of it and think that these Western countries, out of the goodness of their hearts, that they contribute this money to the poor Palestinians to help them. Can you break down and explain that people understand this overall situation we're talking about, the international community's responsibility in helping with these refugees.
Well, the Americans simply don't understand it, and I would imagine, given the Hasbara put out by the apartheid-loving Israelis, it's very effective in Europe as well. There was an article in the Washington Post today, well, not so much an article as a quarter-page ad, talking about Palestine and blaming the Palestinians for all the problems in the region, saying they're uncooperative, they refuse to accede to sensible programs put forward by the apartheid-loving Israelis. In actual fact, though, the international community, particularly Britain and the United States, are responsible for the mess in Palestine. Britain with the Balfour Declaration in 1916, and the Americans with their support and recognition of the rogue Israeli state declaring its independence 11 minutes after it did so in 1948. They simply don't grasp the fact that the Palestinians are refugees in their own country, with the Israelis driving 85% of the population out at gunpoint in 1948. The Americans suck up the Israeli Hasbara like nobody's business whenever there is a conflict between the Palestinians who are defending themselves against their Israeli overlords. It's always Israel has a right to defend itself, not that the Palestinians have a right to take back their own land and push out the invaders. So it's they have a duty and an obligation to either drive the Israelis out of Palestine and restore Mandate Palestine as it was at the beginning of the last century, or to do something about supporting them and not wringing their hands saying, gee, it's a goodness of our heart that we're doing this, not out of an obligation to recognize the rights of refugees and the rights of people who are occupied in their own country.
Keeping our eyes on to see what happens. Thank you both for being with us on this news review. Michael Springman, author and a former diplomat out of Washington, D.C., and Adel Samara, Palestinian writer and researcher out of Ramallah. And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of drawing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this cool, pretty Sunday, November 29th, 2020. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Or if you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Dear friends, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Keep us company until the end of the program. You're listening to the Sunday program, Listeners Special. And as you may know, many of you may have the problem of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will normally receive a QSL card from us in IRIB English Radio. However, these days with the outbreak of coronavirus pandemic around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted, unfortunately, due to the coronavirus pandemic. We hope that this disease is controlled very soon, and then we can get back on track and send you paper QSL cards and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. And here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Maurizio Vecchi from Italy, M. Abdulrazak from India, and João Carlos El Caputo, one of our regular listeners from Brazil. Maurizio, M. Abdulrazak, and João Carlos El Caputo, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters, which I mentioned some of the names here, including Serge Till from Luxembourg, Hemant Kumar, one of our regular listeners from India, Olmar Kvik from Sweden, who is also one of our regular listeners, Niels Lashbrook from the United States, and Sutomo Huang from Indonesia. Thanks a lot for these kind letters and emails. Dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages just in seconds after the music. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Sweden. This email is from Olmar Kvik from Sweden. Olmar is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear friends, it's a pleasure to observe the efforts made by IRIB English Radio to improve the audio quality of the transmission. The recent days have shown such an improvement that the listeners, with some skill and effort, by adjusting the receivers to the best bandwidth and sideband, can follow your transmissions. It is really not perfect, but the improvement is clear. I want to tell you that I listen to IRIB English Radio on the web with Iranian music and listeners special. This, of course, with perfect audio quality. The website iransera.ir seems to be working, but many other sites are unfortunately unusable. As always, a confirmation of my report will be welcome, and it can favorably be sent by email. From Sweden, where the fallen leaves are falling on the ground, days are often gloomy and cloudy. My kind regards to you and your colleagues. First of all, greetings to you from Iran and IRIB English Radio, Olmar Kvik from Sweden, and thanks a lot for writing to us. It seems that you are satisfied with the audio quality of the transmission, and that's all we want in IRIB English Radio, to provide the best quality of broadcast, signals, transmission, audio, and programs to our dear listeners around the world. May the best days in your life come very soon. Stay safe and healthy during the pandemic. And let the warm signals of IRIB English Radio fill your time at home during these gloomy days, as you said, the gloomy days of autumn and winter, and also during the lockdowns Anyway, we're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in your upcoming emails. Tell us which programs you like the best. Here we have an email from Luxembourg. This email is from Serge Till from Luxembourg. Serge says, "Dear Madam or Sir, few days ago I listened to your programs on SW frequency. I live in Colmarburg in the center of the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg. Can you please send me a classical QSL card, not an EQSL? Thank you in advance and stay in good health. Greetings from Iran and IRB English Radio to Luxembourg and to Serge Till." Serge Till from Luxembourg, it seems that you've already joined us in IRB English Radio. We're so glad that signals of IRB English Radio is heard in different parts of the world, including in Luxembourg. And regarding your request about sending classical QSL card, or paper QSL card or EQSL card, I have to mention that, as we have said during our programs, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio or any souvenirs or promotional items, including postcards, is temporarily halted due to the outbreak of coronavirus. So please be patient. But this mutual relationship between us and you in IRIB English Radio is, we hope that this relationship goes on. And don't forget to tell us your views about our programs during your upcoming emails to IRB English Radio. Thanks a lot for writing to us, Serge Till from Luxembourg. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Dear listeners, after a short break, we will be back with all emails and letters from around the world. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Hemant Kumar from India. Dr. Hemant Kumar is one of our regular listeners who says, "Radio is a powerful medium for celebrating humanity in all of its diversity and constitutes a platform for democratic discourse. At the global level, radio remains the most widely consumed medium. This unique ability to reach out the widest audience means radio can shape a society's experience of diversity, stand as an arena for all voices to speak out, be represented and heard. In my opinion, radio stations should serve diverse communities, offer a wide variety of programs, viewpoints and content, and reflect the diversity of audiences in their organizations and operations." Greetings to you from Iran, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India, one of our regular listeners, and lots of gratitude for writing to us. So once again, this was another wonderful email from one of our regular listeners, Dr. Hemant Kumar, and it was really a wonderful description of radio, as you said. It's a powerful medium for celebrating humanity in all its diversity. And it also constitutes a platform for democratic discourse. Thanks a lot. It was a really nice description of radio. In your view, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India, write to us very soon and tell us your views about our broadcast in IRIB English Radio. And from the United States, we have an email from Niels Lashbrook. Niels Lashbrook says, "Hello to all staff. I would love to get a paper QSL card if that is possible. Secondly, I would appreciate if you could send a broadcast schedule of some sort to me as well so I can know when to tune in. Best regards, Niels." Niels Lashbrook from the US, hello, and thank you for writing to IRIB English Radio. As your request about sending promotional items, including QSL cards or paper QSL cards or broadcast schedule, here I mention for several times that in our radio, We used to send our dear listeners around the world the paper QSL cards, as well as souvenirs and promotional items of our radio, but unfortunately, with the outbreak of coronavirus, this tradition halted, and we hope that soon in the future, after the disease is controlled around the world, we can get back on this track and send our dear listeners paper QSL cards and promotional items. And about the broadcast schedule, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find our broadcast schedule. Anyway, Niels, write to us soon and tell us which programs you like the best in IRIB English Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Stay safe and healthy. Dear listeners, what about a short break? Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and we have an email from Indonesia. This is from Stumo Huang. Stumo Huang says, I'm glad to inform you that I'm enjoying your interesting and informative programs regularly. The reception of radio IRIB English service is very good here in Indonesia. Please try to send me some hard copies of QSL cards, postcards, and some radio souvenirs, etc. With very best wishes and best regards. First of all, greetings from Iran and IRIB English Radio to you in Indonesia, Stumo Huang. And thank you for writing to us. Seeing that our listeners around the world are pleased and satisfied with the quality of the programs and the signal and the audio makes us more strengthened and resolved in continue our path in IRIB English Radio. And as you said, you've requested promotional items, but as we have mentioned several times, sending any item like QSL cards, postcards, and radio souvenirs will be resumed after the COVID-19 disease is controlled. For the time being, we keep this mutual relationship going. You listen to IRIB English Radio broadcast, and you can send us emails and letters, and you can tell us your views about our broadcast. You can tell us your views about the quality of our programs, and we reflect your views in Listeners Special. Anyway, many thanks for writing to us, Stumo Huang from Indonesia. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Thank you. And I think time tells me that here we have to skip to a section of this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
Hello there. Hello, everybody in Iran. I hope everybody's okay out there. My name is Adam Santa. I'm from Leicester in England. I am a frequent listener of IRIB. I've been tuning in on the shortwaves for about a year now and again, whenever I get time. I enjoy the show. I enjoy the content. It's a very interesting show. I enjoy hearing about the listeners from around the world. And I hope that everybody is doing well this summer. I think the content is pretty good. I particularly like the interview segments. It's quite interesting when you get people from different parts of the world there. It's quite interesting to hear their perspective on things, simply because you don't really get that on in any other format, really. It's one of the things I enjoy about shortwave radio is that you can guarantee that sooner or later you're going to pick up a station that has some kind of different perspective on things. So it's quite interesting to do that. Yeah, I would just like to say around the world, I hope you're doing well. Continue listening to IRIB because they're doing a great job. Keep in contact with them. Keep the shortwaves active. I know that the shortwaves aren't exactly as busy as they used to be, so we need to keep that
keep that going, and I hope everybody is doing well.
Just heard a piece of nice Iranian music, and here we come to the end of this week's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us, and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be looking at a question which is very important, and that is the question regarding how we can reconcile the belief that God is the creator of all things with the idea that there are other agents and causes in this world besides God. Obviously, the belief that God is the creator of all things, this is something that we take from our religious texts. We have numerous verses in the Holy Quran which affirm this fact. Also, the proofs for God. Some of the proofs for God also indicate the fact that God is the immediate agent of all things. Ironically, these proofs also indicate the resolution of this problem as well. In the sense that when we say that, when in discussing God's existence, when we say that God exists, the way we, some of the proofs and arguments that are used for to prove this is that we have in this world certain things whose existence is not necessary, and therefore they need a cause. This cause, the causes of these beings, are in and of themselves either necessary and essential, or they are like these, their effects also possible. This chain of cause and effects cannot go on forever. It cannot be infinite. It has to ultimately terminate at a being for whom existence is necessary, which we call in religious terminology God. Therefore, God is the ultimate cause of everything. This, if we look at this argument for God's existence, which we might have indicated in certain of our previous sessions, this argument also shows us the resolution of this problem that we mentioned in the beginning of the program, in the sense that this argument tells us that God is the ultimate cause of everything, meaning he stands at the apex and the pinnacle of this chain of causes, which ultimately and finally terminates at him. So when we say that he's the cause of everything, it means that he's the ultimate cause of everything, which doesn't necessarily negate the fact that he is the cause of the things that stem from him through certain mediating agents. But at the same time, this doesn't negate the fact that those mediating agents and intermediary causes do play a role in the production of the effects that immediately stem from them. And it's necessary for us to affirm this. If we were to deny this idea that there are other causes besides God who play a role in the production of certain effects, that we would be left at in a problematic and a precarious situation with respect to a free will. Because if God is the immediate agent of the effects that stem from us, then his punishing us for certain effects or rewarding us for certain actions would be oppressive in nature. Now, there are certain Islamic sects which have sought to somehow answer this question. They've come up with certain unacceptable notions, such as the idea that when a person makes the intention to perform a certain act, God produces the act that he had made the intention to perform. Not that the person himself produces the act. Well, to be honest, this answer and this resolution of this problem is unsatisfactory, because the same question could be asked with respect to the intention that this person makes. Does this person make, when we say that this person makes this intention, you're saying that he's the cause of this intention, this decision that this person has come to is an act, and you're saying that it stems from him? This contradicts what you previously said, which is the idea that God is the agent and the immediate cause of all things. So this theory is also unacceptable. The proper resolution of the problem is what we mentioned in the beginning of the program. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. Until next time, I'm Shiraz Agha. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
In the limelight.
As of the last week of November, COVID-19 has claimed the lives of more than 100,000 people who live and work in long-term care facilities in the United States of America, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation's latest analysis of state-reported data. As KFF explained, the predicted surge in cases after holiday gatherings and increased time indoors due to winter weather will have ripple effects on hospitals and nursing homes, given the close relationship between community spread and cases in congregate care settings. Dear listeners, stay with us for an article in this regard written by Kenny Stansil Ryder. This article is published under the heading Bleak Milestone. More than 100,000 American nursing home residents and staff killed by pandemic. Here's the details of this article. As of the last week of November, COVID-19 has claimed the lives of more than 100,000 people who live and work in long-term care facilities in the United States of America, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation's latest analysis of state-reported data. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, KFF, 40% of the nation's COVID-19 deaths have occurred in long-term care facilities. While early action to prevent the spread of coronavirus in long-term care facilities led to strict protocols related to testing, personal protective equipment, and visitor restrictions, KFF pointed out that several of these measures have been reversed in recent months, and some long-term care facilities continue to report shortages of PPE and staff. According to physician and public health expert Michael Barnett, 7.7% of the U.S. nursing home residents, or 1 in 13, have now died as a result of COVID-19. Things have never really gotten better, he tweeted. Testing is a struggle. PPE and staff are daily challenges. Soon after reaching the bleak milestone of 100,000 pandemic deaths in long-term care facilities, which happened on Tuesday, November 24th, in the United States, this country on Thursday, November 26th, experienced a new record number of coronavirus-related hospitalizations, as Common Dreams reported earlier Friday, November 27th. Millions of Americans have passed through airports in the past week, despite the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's recommendation against traveling for Thanksgiving. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, does not expect conditions to improve by Christmas and the New Year. As KFF explained, the predicted surge in cases after holiday gatherings and increased time indoors due to winter weather will have ripple effects on hospitals and nursing homes, given the close relationship between community spread and cases in congregate care settings. The U.S. COVID-19 death toll surpassed 264,000 recently. Meanwhile, Thanksgiving marked the 24th consecutive day of more than 100,000 new daily cases in the U.S. Given the pandemic's disproportionate impact on the high-risk populations who live and work in long-term care facilities, even more nursing home residents, employees, and their families are expected to be negatively affected by coronavirus as long as the number of infections continue to grow. Post-Thanksgiving surges in cases are unlikely to spare this community and will likely lead to an ever higher death toll in long-term care facilities, KFF said, adding, raising questions about whether nursing homes and other facilities are able to protect their residents and if not, what actions can be taken to mitigate the threat posed by the virus. As the New York Times reported in June, when the COVID-19 death toll in long-term care facilities was just over 50,000, some critics have argued that the profit-driven nature of the private nursing home industry is underlying the problem. Since treating elder care as a commodity rather than a public good can incentivize cost-cutting or money-making measures that put people in harm's way. An investigation of long-term care facilities in Connecticut, the result of which were published in August, lent credence to that hypothesis. According to the study, for-profit nursing homes had about 60% more cases and deaths per licensed bed than non-profit ones, while larger facilities were hit harder than smaller ones, and homes serving as part of a chain had worse outcomes, as Reuters reported at the time. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse noted recently that he and Senator Bob Casey have a bill to help nursing homes protect their residents and workers from COVID-19. According to Whitehouse, it's time to pass it.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is part of a speech delivered on September 21st, 2020 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, via video conference with participants in ceremonies throughout the country to honor the veterans of the Sacred Defense Era. The meeting was held on the occasion of 40th anniversary of the Sacred Defense. A new model for the presence of the people in the arena of Sacred Defense and the cultivation of talents.
We could cite a youth who worked as a journalist in a certain newspaper and who later on would join the front lines, turning into a personality like Shaheed Hassan Bakhri. The same is true of Shaheed Babai and others. This innovative model of popular presence could always be employed. Today too, we can benefit from this model. If we show determination and look at the people and at our affairs with the right outlook, we could benefit from this paradigm. Of course, war conditions and the economy are different from each other. Thinkers and intellectuals can consider and pursue this model as a means of national power. Should they do so, then the role of the backup forces will become as significant as the front lines in this model. This is because not everyone can hold a gun. Interests, dispositions, and capabilities are different. Some people can play as they did play their part behind the front lines. Firstly, we should mention that financial assistance and transfer of food was very important and influential.
Your light and love, all I see, nothing more I'd ever want or need. My Lord, protect me from dishonor, grant me faith to be stronger.
The same is true of attending to the wounded and the glorious act of seeing off funeral the martyrs. I have said many times that if martyrs had not received such honor and respect, the thrill of martyrdom would not have blazed the way it did. Whenever the bodies of martyrs, one or more, entered a city, the people's presence and warm reception and their act of seeing them off to their resting place was a very important and influential event. Presenting cultural and promotional activities, composing poetry and slogans, nullifying the enemy's psychological warfare, as the enemy was constantly engaged in psychological warfare, and some people in the cities and villages of the country were constantly nullifying them, hosting and accommodating war-stricken people and the people's decision to stay in their cities. For example, cities like this Phul, while their cities were under heavy bombardment, was really astonishing.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.